Hello there, theater kids. It's your Broadway buddy, Ben Cameron, back again with another episode of The Broadway Cast. Okay, get ready to say it with me. It must be spoken, unbroken. Beetlejuice? Beetlejuice? Well, you get it. We're off to the netherworld on today's episode, but as you noticed, I didn't quite conjure a certain someone this time. Because today we're giving it up for the ladies of Beetlejuice, the musical. Sorry, Alex, Mickey, sad face. I'm speaking, of course, of Broadway's latest Lydia Dietz, Elizabeth Teeter, laugh out loud Leslie Kritzer, and Broadway icon and Barbara 2.0, the one and only Carrie Butler. This group is a dream trio for me in more than a couple of ways. First of all, I've been nagging Leslie to be on the show since we got started almost 5 years ago. Finally got her. And I am a Carrie Butler fan from way, way back. From Hairspray, Xanadu, Little Shop, Mean Girls, Bat Boy, Catch Me If You Can. Not going to lie. Fly Away from Catch Me If You Can lives rent-free in my mind most of the time. I'm a little obsessed, and I had to get that out here with you. So I didn't frighten her while we were in the studio. So thank you for being a friend. You're a pal and a confidant. As you know, you only have a couple of months left to see Beetlejuice on Broadway before it heads out on a highly anticipated national tour. So get a ticket to New York City just as soon as you finish listening to the podcast. Beetlejuice is awesome. Beetlejuice is groundbreaking. All right, when Beetlejuice first opened, it got moderate reviews and fair to middling audience support, but something along the way clicked. And before we could say Deo, Beetlejuice was fast achieving Broadway cult status. I mean, we've truly never seen anything quite like it. Once it closed, while playing to sold-out houses at the Winter Garden Theater, we had to make way for Hugh Jackman, don't you know? The positively rabid fan base of Beetlejuice took to social media and went ape, demanding the show return to Broadway. And listen, the fans get what they want. Never before has a show been driven to reopening quite this way, and Beetlejuice doesn't take that fan support lying down. They raise up their fans by plastering the alley outside the theater with actual fan art. Beetlejuice is big, body, and hilarious. In our conversation today, I get to dig deep with the ladies about their Beetlejuice characters, the intricacies of the show, what's gross about Alex Brightman, JK. Beyond that, I wanted to find out with Leslie and Carrie what helped spawn their illustrious careers on Broadway, and for Elizabeth, what it's like being a 20-year-old starring on Broadway again. Calm down, Elizabeth. Sheesh. And what, of course, it's like to work with these incredible co-stars. So let's get on with it. It's spooktacular stuff and a beautiful sound. Before we do, of course, want to remind you to follow us on social media at The Broadway Cast. Follow me at Ben Does Broadway. Subscribe to the show. Like it. Rate us. Share us with your friends. And if you want to support us to the full potential, you can become a member of our Patreon family just by clicking the link in the liner notes, and you can support us on Patreon, and we would greatly appreciate it. All right, I'm ready to commit. Here we go. Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. Let's go on with the show. And we're here now in the netherworld. We've done it. We've gathered together the leading ladies of Beetlejuice, 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 the musical. I'm so excited, not only because I love the show, I freaking love the show. I saw the show just the other night, and I was the one that everybody thought was Jerry Mitchell, apparently, sitting in the audience, which is not the first time that's happened to me. Apparently, we have the same silhouette, which I'm flattered by. If I can now get a sweet twink boyfriend to go with my life, great. We'll be in business. But I am obsessed with the show. I love bringing people to the show, and I'm just so in awe of all of you, not only for this show, but longtime fan in a lot of ways. So let's say hello to these ladies. Carrie Butler is here, Barbara 2.0, and of course, we love her from Catch Me If You Can, Xanadu, Little Shop. It goes on and on and on. Hi, Carrie Butler.
Hello.
You can't mistake that voice. There she is. You know it's her.
There it is. We do it all the time.
I'm going to gush right away. I have been a really big fan of yours for such a long time. And I've wanted you on the show since we started it way back in the day. So this is a fun moment for me. But I'm a big old KB stan, which I think I used that correctly in youth speak. A stan. Is that correct?
I think so.
Can you confirm
Elizabeth
that?
Elizabeth would know.
Who's confirming that for me? It's Lydia. It's Elizabeth Teeter.
Yes.
Stan confirmed.
Stan confirmed. welcome. I am in awe of you. You're just kicking ass in the show. And just belting your guts out, my friend. Just in Act One and Act Two, all over the place. You're so fantastic.
Thank you.
I'm really interested in your resume up to this point, though, with The Crucible and
yes.
and particularly with Jane Banks and Mary Poppins. I feel like this is a real jump.
Yeah,
As an actress, I wonder if they look at it like, oh, she was Jane Banks. This is a shoo-in. This is perfect.
Right.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And rounding us out, Leslie Kritzer is here, who not only stars as Delia, sucks yes, but Elf, Something Rotten, Legally Blonde. We go on for days. Do you want me to go on for days?
No, it's okay. There's more, but you can Google it.
There is more, so please
more,
do
Fine.
Google
Much
it.
More.
Fine.
So you're in the show. You get to know each other pretty well, obviously. That's some pretty tight quarters. But I want to ask before we start, where did your lives intersect beforehand, or was it in the netherworld that we all met each other?
Carrie, you go.
Leslie and
I... Oh, I feel like there's a story here.
Oh, well, Leslie and I have done more than one show together.
Yeah, now more than one.
We started, though, at Bat Boy. Where Leslie was the understudy.
Swing. I was a swing.
But she understudied me.
Yes.
Teenage
really?
Shelley. Yeah. And my mom.
Yes. I didn't know that.
And so she was younger than me, and she went on as my mom.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's
really
And the boyfriend.
Oh, yes.
One time as the boyfriend. Someone got sick, and I knew the boyfriend part. It was very short. So, yeah, I had to go on as the boyfriend. But then we closed the show. I played her mom.
Yes.
That's hilarious.
Yep.
And if you
that
guys,
was during 9/11 time. So that was a very intense time.
I am of the age where I did see Bat Boy originally, and I laughed myself sick. There was a stuffed animal orgy moment, as
yes!
I recall,
yes.
uh-huh. that I remember going, this can't possibly exist on a stage, and yet here it is happening, and why did I get so lucky?
Oh, and the audience would come, our final, remember they used to come in the front row and they all brought stuffed animals?
That they wanted to donate to the orgy?
They just were like, they're fans. We used to call them Batheads?
Our fans for Beetlejuice remind me a lot of our fans for Bat Boy.
Do you think it's because it's a dark subject matter kind of deal?
Yes, and like outcasts feel welcome.
Yeah.
Like they all would dress up for Bat Boy. They had the hand signals that they would do for
They would do Hulk, because that was part of our
Hold me, Bat Boy.
Yeah, that was part of the choreography. Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
Carrie, you were so good in that show. That was the first time that because I knew you from, I think, Blood Brothers cast recording or something like that. Cast recording, I heard your voice. I was like, oh my God, she's so good. I don't remember if it was that or something else. But then when I got to see Carrie in the show, I was like, oh my God.
That's her. Yeah.
She's so good, and I have to understudy her. Oh my God, and then I have to play her mom. What?
That's the funniest part. Yeah, you're playing her mom. The voice is unbelievable, though. At Broadway and Bryant Park, we were watching you sing, and I guess whatever the wings would be, I was hosting that day, and we were all in the wings going, every time. She's just indestructible. Every time she just
We always say it at the show. Every single person's like, Carrie Butler's voice has never ever
faltered.
Faltered
in the rafters.
Literally.
Singer on Broadway.
It's Tony Award for best voice and consistent voice of all time.
We can get a grassroots petition for that. Let's go to change.org and everybody can sign. Elizabeth, did you know these ladies or know of them?
No, I mean, I knew of them, but I met them for one day in 2020.
Right.
I was cast back.
Tell the story, Elizabeth.
I was cast back in 2020 before the shutdown, and it was very fast. It was like I went in a couple times, and then they were like, "You start in 3 days." And I
holy moly!
And was rehearsing at Ripley with a stage manager, and we put Act One together in like a day. And then I went. I think it was maybe a Thursday. Mm-hmm. I went to the theater and like got the tour backstage and met everyone, and they were like so excited, and we're like, this is our room, like it's gonna be so much fun. I literally ran into Alex for like a second and was like, see you out there. And it was funny because on the stairway Dan Heiser literally said to me like, nice to meet you, and like elbow bumped me and was like, hope we have a show for you. And I was like, what does that mean? And then we shut down the next day. So and it was never announced, it was nothing. So it was kind of nice though, because I feel like I kept in touch a bit over social media. Mm-hmm. Like I saw what you guys were doing, you saw what I was doing. So coming back to rehearsals officially in year and a half later, I felt like I already kind of knew them. It was like a supportive system.
But then you got an actual rehearsal process.
Yeah, yes. So honestly, it worked out like for the best because it's so different, you know, just being in a rehearsal room with the assistant director and stage manager, and especially with a role like this, like being plugged in and having to go on. But it felt like putting together a new show, and I love rehearsing. It's one of my favorite parts. I love getting, it just feels like playing around with your friends and cool people. And so getting to really bond with everyone through that was super special.
Well, I'm glad you said bond because I'm going to test your bond right now. Uh-oh. This is our icebreaker game.
Oh, God.
Right now. Did you say a moment ago, do you share a dressing room?
No.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I don't. You said something about.
No, we all have our own.
We're good. Honestly a little more isolated in this theater, which is
that's
sad
a bad thing.
Because it's a big theater. So they're like so far away from me. That I don't get to see. I don't get to see anyone as much.
You come up and visit all
the time. Are you in the ivory tower dressing room?
Alex and I are in the first floor, which we have a good time. We always say, like, me, Alex, and our dressers and stuff have a party. But I try to go up to their floor, especially, like, on two-show days. I like to knock on her door and sit down. She gives me little pep talks sometimes.
Yeah. My room's
get a pep talk. You should come
she
here for encouragement.
Yeah. If I'm having a hard show, I go up and visit Leslie, and she is, like, so supportive. It's very they're great.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's going to be fun to hear you guys throw each other under the bus in this game. All right.
I hate her.
Here we go. This is super superlatives. I'm going to give you a superlative, most likely two, and I want everyone to weigh in on who they feel matches said superlative
of this three.
Oh, just of the three.
Of the three of you.
I'm nervous.
No, the wonderful thing, isn't this great? We can do this without Alex for once. God damn it.
Right.
He's my baby daddy. I'm kidding. I love him. All right. Here we go. Who of the three of you is most likely to break character on stage?
I would say laugh would be Leslie.
Yeah.
Leslie turns up stage.
I do. Especially this round. I'm really bad.
I'm a close. I'm a second,
I try.
Though. No, us together, though, during the whole last 20 minutes of the show is really dangerous.
Yeah, really dangerous.
All right. Can I jump in here? And I feel like I saw it. I feel I saw
oh
the
my
show
gosh,
a
probably.
Couple nights ago, and I saw that there was action happening, and I felt like you two were looking at each other. Like
did
this.
Something happen? Was that the
Alex was doing something that went on forever about the inside emotions?
Oh yeah, yeah,
the
yeah.
Emotions?
And then it was that crazy one where he go. But
well,
then something
is it,
extra.
Is it when he looked at the audience and he was like, he waved.
Yes,
like,
yeah, he did that
right. Because we applauded.
Yes, yes,
we applauded
yes.
him doing that.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And you were
no,
way over on stage
laughed,
right,
yeah.
And you were over on stage left.
Yeah, I totally made eye character there. And then I looked at Joe Berg and Carrie, totally in character. They were like, meanwhile, I'm downstage. Like,
no.
No. You know what?
It's very hard to break character.
At that point
very
in the show, sometimes I'm like, I just can't.
I will turn up stage.
What I'm always looking for, which is a shoulder bounce.
Yeah.
If the shoulder is bouncing.
That's happened to me before,
you
got to
put your teeth against each other, and then all of a sudden you cannot laugh. Like, if you put your teeth, if that's when I'm really bad and the shoulder's happening, I put my teeth together and I just
literally grit
you know
your
it's
teeth.
Hard for me sometimes really is when the very end of Creepy Old Guy, when I'm singing the last note and I can sometimes hear you guys like laughing behind me.
We're laughing. In character and in real life.
Yes, in real life.
Two things can be true at once.
We have a bouquet toss that's like, it's like, but actually it's because we have a bouquet toss at the end. And it's so funny.
I didn't even know.
I know it does.
I never knew. I like for the longest time didn't even know it went past my face because I was so like
focused. There's two bouquets that go over. We're supposed to. It's like, God, I love you, Connor. But it's one of those things where, like, we know we're never going to ever be consistent with this.
Yeah.
But
right.
We just laugh at it. We just laugh at it now.
Sometimes
you're like, sports, here we go.
Last night, I just threw it straight up. And it fell back down, just straight up. And I did break character last night because I was like, what is wrong with you, Carrie?
But that's not what you're trained for, the sports.
My toss is to you isn't that great either, though.
But yours always, I always catch it. It's always like, but I have to throw it across the entire stage. And I just throw it straight up because I get so nervous about
it.
Yeah,
when it fell
I
and you stepped off the house and picked it up.
Then
to
somebody, I was going to ask, who has to pick it up then?
Depends.
I picked it up once.
Right.
She does. It's so funny. We die laughing.
Oh, man.
It's true. And then the other thing is, because you're holding that note forever at the end. Adam
3
and
years.
I, like, we were like,
so long.
We're like, ga, 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 creepy. You're like, ga. And we're like, sometimes we look at each other, we're like, she's still going. She's still
is that still happening?
Like, we're like breathing.
There have been like a there have been a couple times, like that moment specifically where it's like, I started, I remember being like, I think I need to hydrate more. Where it was like, I felt lightheaded at one point. Because
yeah,
that costume
they
is
bright red.
It's like,
you know, they put me on that note, so then you can take a breath.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Well, it's like that dress is so.
4 months to see if she takes that catch breath.
The dress is just so heavy at that point. I'm like, I can't.
Take a catch breath.
Well, I didn't do it. They built it in.
They forced me to do it.
I can hold the entire thing.
I would never.
No, I come in the middle, so I'm not even doing the whole thing.
Well, look at that. But you're not going to do it, are you?
No.
I have a feeling Elizabeth she's not going to let that go. She's going to prove to herself she can do it every night.
We'll see. Sometimes I look at Alex and I take his hand and just go,
That's it. Da 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 da. All right, who's most likely to go up on the lyric?
Definitely not Elizabeth.
No, I've done it.
You've done
I've
it?
I've done what? It too, I feel like. Yeah.
I feel like
we're
not good. What? I don't know if I've.
You haven't done it that much, and I haven't done it that much.
No, it's a fluke thing.
Yeah.
I feel like it's more like lines. Like, I get tripped up once I got like caught on my words or
sometimes,
something.
Sometimes, like,
and
yeah,
I
my tongue
to, like,
doesn't want to work right.
Yeah.
That happens to all of us, I think, sometimes.
Yep.
But once you're doing the show for a long time, then it's much harder.
Yes.
It's much harder
to not zone out for a second.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you're like, wait, where am I in the song?
About it,
for sure.
I have a longer line, and once I was weirdly thought about it too much, and then I was like, what am I saying? And then it still came out correctly. Or during Say My Name, it was the fast stuff. And I was like,
how is this
we
coming
can't
out?
Think about that.
Yeah, that's the scary thing when you're how is this coming out of my mouth right now?
Uh-huh. And then you come back into your body.
I felt white.
And you're like, did it land?
Yeah.
Did I do it?
Did I get there?
And it was just coming out. And I was like, oh my God.
Good for me. It came out correctly.
I
left the building. Who among you is most likely to cook a 5-star meal? Who's the chef of the group?
I am... A college
Leslie, maybe?
Girl.
Of all of
hot plate and ramen.
Maybe
you.
You do bring in your food.
I do bring in my food.
Yeah, I cook sometimes. Like I cook, but not crazy.
No.
All right, I like that, but that's good. Who's got time to cook?
I feel like Alex is a chef.
I've never cooked
Alex
a meal in my
Alex
life.
Really likes
my
to cook.
Alex likes to cook. He would definitely win that.
It's a very
limited diet. Or David Joseph Burke
too.
David Joseph Burke.
Oh, he makes so much food and brings it.
He, yeah.
That feels very nurturing. That feels very Adam. Who is most likely to move off the grid and live off the land? Who's the biggest hippie?
Me.
You.
Oh, yeah? Are you a hippie?
I feel like I'm so in between. I love New York, but I'm also I just want to go in a cabin and be in the woods and nature.
That's her new album.
Buy more
coming
crystals.
Soon. I want to go in a cabin and
be
live
in the woods
in
nature.
I want to do that, too.
Yeah. Oh, actually.
I do love Maine.
Carrie's like that too.
Carrie's like that.
I feel like
that's good though. That's good
Carrie
balance for
you
in the city.
Wait, yeah, you're.
Yeah,
that's
you
so
would.
True.
You
Carrie's
like
that. Carrie's a real princess. She gardens and
she's a real life princess.
Deers come by her house.
I want to believe that. I want to believe that you talk to birds.
I do talk to birds. I sing to them and
they sing back.
Yes,
and they will come.
They actually do. If you actually sing to birds, they will sing. Like I do, and then they'll do that back to you.
They will. She also talks to plants, and they do grow.
I believe that. Well, that's a little shop thing.
No, she does.
Isn't it?
I was about to say, they really grow.
Audrey?
Yeah. Who's most likely to be afraid of ghosts?
Didn't you say you don't like Stranger Things and stuff? You got
scared.
Spooky.
Yeah, I don't like scary things. Yeah, maybe me. Yeah,
I don't like scary things. I don't.
I just learned that Alex is terrified of scary things.
Right, because you're gonna have to.
I would never
go on a ghosty situation with him.
I'm definitely not me. I like horror movies.
I don't like horror movies either. I hate them.
I like to fall asleep to them.
Pearl the other.
I'm so desensitized. Maybe
I'll fall asleep to The Crown.
To The Crown,
that's
sure, absolutely.
Oh yes.
All right. Who's the most serious?
Definitely not Leslie.
No.
I don't know.
It's between me and Teeter.
Yeah. But I don't know.
You feel like Teeter?
But I feel but I feel the first four is pretty funky. Alex and I don't stop on the jokes.
The maybe first floor is where the party's at.
I would say I'm more serious post COVID.
Yes, I think very grounded, spiritual.
I'm
the birds.
I'm in my room with my plants.
Right, we'll get a hello. You know, but we'll also get very sort of grounding.
I'm with my plants, leave me alone.
Oh my gosh, I'm talking to who I really want to talk to right now.
Harry probably can be more quiet than the rest of us.
Oh. I would say yes to that. Yeah,
she can
saving
be more
it
quiet.
For the stage.
Introspective.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one is, who's the biggest party animal?
Not me.
Are you not on the first
Leslie.
Floor?
Yeah. Leslie.
Yeah,
definitely.
Are you party
Maybe
animal?
Me. Definitely Leslie. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was
yeah.
A,
I feel like
I can get there.
But she's now having the bagel parties.
No, I feel
I
like
do like to bring bagels.
The parties change from cocktail hour to bagel party.
I
want to
do some stuff now that I'm like,
no, we're
going to
bring Snob back, starting on Broadway. Yeah. We're going to do things. Maybe we
it's
will go to
so hard.
Maybe we will go to six.
Because of COVID, like, we haven't been able to socialize like
we Yeah.
So we're but we're going to make an effort now for our last 3 months.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm a little more fun outside of the show's just so much that I feel like I can't do too much.
You know, our schedule
can't really go.
Hard.
I can't.
Sure it is.
Like, it was so funny. A couple of, like, friends that I knew from college came to see it, and they're like, "Do you like go out?" And I was like, "No." Like, just in terms of like you know, going to parties or going to do things, it's just too hard to, to
Elizabeth's
do all the time.
20. I just get there.
But
that's wild.
Wake me when I'm 21, baby. It's coming up in a month.
November.
It'll be just in time. The show will have just closed, and you'll go completely off the rails.
Wake me when I'm 21, November 6th.
You'll have earned it. How has it been?
I probably won't. I'll probably go home to my cats.
Yes.
And that's fair, too. That's a party. Cat
so
party.
It is.
What's it been like bringing such an interesting trajectory for this show to have opened, closed, come back? By fan demand, what has kind of been the general experience of bringing a show back in a way that hasn't happened before with the fan movement? It's a movement, really.
Yeah, I mean, I will say once we knew we were coming back for real, and then we felt that love from the fans, like they were losing their minds, you know, knowing that we were going to come back. The thing that resonates with me most is just getting back into the room for the first time with everybody and saying the words again and singing the songs again and seeing everybody. And it felt so different, but it's the same, but it means so much, even means so much more now.
Yeah.
So everything we do in the show, rediscovering the moments together now with Elizabeth, you know, having some new cast members.
Yeah. That's gotta be fun to shift and morph and play off
and
of
and
new,
give people. Yeah, and gives all of us a new life within the show, but also to know that we get to do it for people after everything we've been through over the past 2 years was such a gift. We're like, wow, we get to do something positive and make people happy and do a show that it's a comedy and it's like all a lot of things, but it really means a lot to us. Yeah. And it's actually about something special.
And that's why the audience reaction has been what it is. It means a lot to a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, same. I feel like I had such a different, you know, journey in that I didn't even know if I'd get to be a part of it. So getting to come back in like those first days, the first read through and run through, everything just felt like so unreal. Like, I remember, I think I had a moment. I had so many of these types of moments, but it was like final dress rehearsal or opening or something. And it was like during home or before I like finished the song. And I was like, I can't believe that I'm here. I can't believe I am singing this song, running down the stage singing, and like here in front of everyone and with everyone in this company. And also, like they said, is I feel like so many people relate to Lydia because of what she's going through. Mm-hmm. And even more so, I think, after like this pandemic, like I know I relate to her in so many ways, and feeling stuck and feeling, you know, like you don't know what your purpose is or where you belong. And getting to represent that has been so cool. Like, the amount of messages, like, I didn't even know the scope of the fan base until I was in it, till it was, like, opening. But some of the messages I've received have just been so amazing. And like you said, it's a comedy, and people come and are laughing and have fun. But, like, a lot of them have been, like, this means a lot to me. I lost someone, or I feel like I'm not seen, and I got to see my mental health and my self reflected on stage, because Lydia isn't like a princess, or like I think Dana said that in some other thing. She's not like a sweet girl next door, or it's not about a love interest, or, you know, she's not even trying to fit in. That's the thing. She's just trying to be herself. And I think it's really, really amazing that I get to be that. And,
I'm racking my brain about shows, and you're absolutely right. It just, it's a character journey that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
She's not chasing a man. She's not trying to conform to fit in. She's You're absolutely right about that, and that has struck a nerve with people.
Yeah, she's not even trying to like become popular, or you know, she admits that she's weird, and but she's embracing that. Like she says, "I myself am strange and unusual," and she doesn't try to change that, which I think is really cool, and speaks a lot to people who feel that same way about, you know, getting through your hard times and also embracing yourself. At the end, she embraces the people around her, but she doesn't try to change herself.
I love that. That's really powerful. It really is. Carrie, how has the show changed from D.C. to Broadway and back to Broadway?
Well, from D.C. to Broadway, it's a lot less dirty.
Yeah.
They cleaned it up.
I wish I saw it in D.C.
Cleaned it up so that kids could actually come to
it. Yeah, they're...
People think it's dirty now.
I've heard some of the jokes and I was like, whoa.
Yeah. So that was the main thing. And I think from Winter Garden to Marquee, the main changes have been like just slight things with us.
Yeah.
Where the 2 years being away, like, oh, Barbara resonates so much more with me now. I have been hiding in my house for 2 years. Like Barbara's been hiding in her attic. And so just things like that, and grappling with death, and you know, worrying about, am I gonna catch this disease and die? And you know, the show is all about life and choosing to live. And now the whole world is like, we gotta choose to live.
Yes.
You know, we have to get out. How do we do that again?
Yeah.
That's really important.
What I want to know about your characters. What is it about each of them that you like about that character? And what's something you don't like about the character?
I think with Delia, I love her absolute wide-eyed, not dumb, but like absolute wide-eyed optimism and hope for things to change, and that, you know, things morph, things change. She really does believe in the universe that things do happen for a reason. That is very, I really do believe that too. I'm probably closer to her than I ever thought I was.
Oh, really?
But yeah, in the sense of like, just, I think my innate nature is that way. I have to fight off my demons, the negative stuff, but I think my innate nature is very like, all things are possible. Like when I think back about like how I was when I was younger and how that part is still with me, the curiosity, kid curiosity, and that sort of optimism, that's what I relate most to, and I love most about her. And I remind myself, because I literally am forced to sing that song every night, every night, that it is true. That, and also, we don't know the whole story about our lives and why things happen. We don't know.
Sure.
But if we think about that there's a reason, we may not ever find out what that is, but it is here and it is now, so we might as well accept it. So I love that. What I don't like about her?
Yeah.
I think honestly her style is terrible. I'm sorry, William, but her, like, you, that, I would never ever in a million years wear anything that she, like, it's,
but you,
it's
look
out
great
there
in all,
but
of
I do,
you really,
and
do.
She looks hot. I'm a good redhead, but I definitely am. That's not my vibe. That's not my vibe. But the black and white dress, yes, William, thank you for building me the best costume
looks
I've ever had.
So good.
And the nighty negligee.
The nighty negligee is very cute too.
Yeah.
And I do love the red hair. Okay.
Carrie.
I love playing Barbara. It's like such a fun part. It's always, when you play a part, part of them stays with you throughout the day because you're doing it 8 times a week. And so, you know, I've played dark characters before, and that's hard because it's hard to let that darkness go sometimes. So Barbara's so light, and she just makes me, same thing, like tap into my childlike nature. She has a big heart. And so just, it's a really super fun part to play all the time. There aren't really things I don't like about her as a character. I don't like the things I have to do in the show so much. Like, I don't love falling through the floor 8 times a week.
Sure, sure.
It's not
you
fun.
Don't?
It's
not fun. You don't like falling through a floor?
Scary to fall through things.
It's not, it's scary, like, but... scary in a way like that it's not something that's reliable. Like, I can't be like, I'm always going to fall exactly this way, and the person isn't going to be, we're not going to fall into each other. You know, so there's just like so much variables where how you could hurt yourself by falling blindly through the floor, because it's like we don't see the bottom where we're falling.
Yeah.
Never see it.
It's like you're just jumping and then you're.
Blind faith.
Yeah, blind faith.
Woo!
Yeah. Yeah. And you don't have control over it. People don't like, we don't like not having control. I feel like maybe you hit on a little bit of, of how you feel about Lydia.
I like her. I like her confidence and her wit and how she kind of is just herself. And she doesn't apologize for that. She's like, I am grieving. This is who I am. And also, I think she has a great sense of humor. I mean, I think I made this joke before with, I don't know, maybe Matt or something, where like she drags everyone in the show at some point. So maybe that's
totally
something
does.
That's a little harsh. But I think it's been fun. It's allowed me to tap into a side of myself that I haven't gotten to play in a character in her cleverness and in her sarcasm, which is really fun. But I also think she has a big heart, and I think she cares a lot, and she might seem like she doesn't care, but I think that's the thing that keeps us on that journey with her is she does care, and she cares about the people around her, and she cares about her mom. I don't like about her is she definitely has a bit of a closed mind throughout the show until the end, in terms of she's very opinionated. She's not really open to hearing Delia. She's not really open to hearing her dad. But then that's complicated because he's not really listening to her either. So
it's almost like she's a teenager.
It's almost like she's
almost
a teenager. So she's very set in her own way. But I think that sort of turns around near the end. So I don't know. I think that's just part of her her feeling unseen and her grieving and all of that.
Yeah. I love the show because you get a lot of bang for your buck as an audience member, right? You pay these ticket prices to see a Broadway show, and if you go to Beetlejuice, you're seeing your money.
Yes.
You're seeing your money on stage.
You are.
The set is wild, and it pays homage to the Tim Burton of it all. But there's a lot of things to do on that set. They were flying on the set, and I don't want to spoil any of the magic, so I'm not asking for that. But what are some of the intricacies of dealing with the set? I know you in particular, Leslie, have some lots of pratfalling to do over very odd-shaped couches and things.
Yes. Oh, my God.
What's been the process of navigating the set?
I mean, like that,
practice.
Yeah, you know, I have to attach myself to a pig and then twirl downstage, unwrap myself and fall on two chairs and then fall on the ground.
So
did you ever know you'd be able to say that about your career?
I felt the other day,
attach myself to the pig.
I think I feel like I've been doing that since kindergarten.
Yeah.
I've been twirling around, falling over a couch, falling on the ground. Who's going to laugh? Like, really, it's like,
so
it's true. Like, I really feel like I've been that person. So I was born for this.
Yeah.
It's sometimes in the middle, so for people that don't know, the pig attacks me. I'm ruining it, but the pig attacks me
from the cart.
And then I have to twirl, and then William Ivy Long's genius dress, he made it so that it can unravel, and then I fall on the ground. But sometimes when I do spot, you know, when I'm turning downstage, Shanae's
dancer first.
Thank you, CCM, for the ballet
dancer
classes.
First, thank you so much. I'm like, what am I doing? Like, sometimes I'm like, what is happening? I fall on the table in the first scene.
Wow, you really do. I didn't even think about that.
I flip over a couch.
You do a lot of stuff.
I do. But it's funny because sometimes I'll like look at my legs. I'm like, God, I'm bruised and banged up. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I always do it safely. We have a great team that taught us how to do all of these things really well. Again, there's always room for error. You never know. I've definitely fallen on things wrong and hurt myself a number of times. But it's so fun. It's so ingrained now. And then just to navigate it, I really make sure I do it safely. But there's times where I'm literally spinning downstage on a rake going, what is happening right now? Am I going to make it? I don't know if I'm going to make it this one. I might bang into the table.
There's like a million things going on too at once.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, jumping on tables, running, jumping off tables, and big hands flying towards you. And at the same time, I go, never in my life again will I probably ever get the opportunity to be in this insanity. Mm-hmm. And I really do enjoy it.
Fun.
Dan Heiser and I laugh sometimes during the end scene, the dinner scene at the end, because we're like, this is nuts.
I feel the same way during that scene particularly, where like the puppet comes up and all this stuff. I'm like, this is crazy.
This is crazy.
Yeah. And I also, it's one of the few times that I can really see the audience. And so sometimes I am looking around and the people in those first front rows are like,
Like, what is happening?
Totally, just, you know.
Yep. I think I said that during that scene. I think I said, whispered to my friend, "This is bonkers."
Yeah,
this is absolutely crazy.
I have a lot of siblings, and I told my brother, I was like, "No, you're gonna really like this one." It's one of those shows that we were like, Dana and I said, it's one of those shows that you bring the boyfriend or husband or whoever that doesn't like musicals, right? Because yes, there's going to be something entertaining.
100%. That's it. That's the compromise for dad, right? Mm-hmm. If mom wants to see Dear Evan Hansen, R.I.P., then the exchange is dad gets Beetlejuice.
R.I.P.
What is your favorite part of the show to perform?
For sure, mine is Fright of Their Lives. With Alex and Joe Berg, and just getting to make those faces all the time, and like, it's just real. It's a really, really fun song. All of us actually say that that's our favorite part of the show.
Because yeah, it's just playtime.
It feels like playtime. Yeah.
Oh, there's a lot of low bellowing.
It's really fun.
What's your favorite part, Leslie?
Lately, my favorite part has been the bedroom scene. Uh-huh. So not singing. Just because Adam Danheiser and I have gotten to be so in sync with what we do together, almost like it's science, sort of what we do and the new things we've found. It's very subtle, but it works. We're always constantly, and I just love that scene. It's like if I could transport myself and be Carol Burnett in the Carol Burnett Show, that sketch would have been in the Carol Burnett Show of some sort, like a uh-huh. different version of it. But that you're working with the highest level with another comedic actor, the audience is so on your side, and you know how to ride them the right way to get exactly what you need most of the time. And it's just great. It's just great. And then that scene at the end, there's a beautiful moment. Carrie and Joe Berger there. It's just a great scene in the show that really starts funny, but then it really is touching at the end. Mm. And there's very few times where I've been able to do that within 5 minutes.
Five minutes
in a scene. Yeah. So, yeah, more than singing.
The vaping is very funny for me. I enjoy that an awful lot, the vape moment.
Yep.
What's your favorite moment?
So many. I love Beautiful Sound. I think it's another one of those moments where I'm like, I can't believe how I'm in a huge musical right now, where it's just the dancers are crazy, and Alex and I are having a great time together because we have a little more freedom there to like kind of talk to each other and like go off of each other and you know, jumping off of things. And then at the end when we're all dancing together and there's just like music and all this happening, and we finish and it feels like one of those just classic like musical numbers where I finish and I'm like, I'm in a huge musical and everyone's dancing. I also love to dance, so it's fun that I get to, you know, run around a bit in that. That and Say My Name with Alex is another, like you're saying, just he's so funny and so like quick and adaptable, and it's so fun because every night it feels new. And it just feels like we're sort of, you know, one-upping each other in real life as we try to bring ourselves into the song. That too, yeah. And I love Home. I love singing Home every night. So.
I love Home.
I love Home. It's my favorite song to sing. I think it's also just the show is so fast-paced and there's so much going on that getting to, like, take a second before I start to sing and, like, really process what's going on and really connect with the lyrics. And I have that scene with Danheiser, which I just, he's such a good actor. And
he really is.
It's just so fun to feel like we can step outside of the comedy of it for a second and be real people. And not that, you know, you're not real people in comedy, but it's just something I look forward to every night.
I will say, just as a testament to Elizabeth, for young people that are listening, you know, Elizabeth came into this and worked her butt off in this show. It is a difficult,
beast.
Heavy sing. And I've been, and I think I could speak for everyone and say, we've been so impressed at just how she's been able to navigate that. Mm-hmm. She had COVID, she had to get over COVID, then go during tech and then go right into it. Tech. It's unbelievable. I've really never seen anybody just so resilient in that way. And also just being able to, as a new person in the show, you know, we've had years with this show developing it.
Yeah.
It's a new person just coming in, learning it, doing her own thing with it. Because as we know, I've been in a I don't think you've ever replaced, have
yes,
you?
I have.
So as replacements, we've both been in a replacement. You come in, there's already preconceived, somebody's already on the album, you know. So of course you're like, well, you know, totally have done her, she totally has done her own thing. And for young people who always ask me, and I think because Karen and I both teach, well, you know, what's the, how do you take care of yourself? How do you whatever? And just watching Elizabeth come into the show and seeing how disciplined she's been and working so hard and never taking anything for granted. It's like I wish all young people could like talk to you about that, because seeing it is just impressive at 20.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think I was, at 20, like putting too much on my Express credit card in college.
Oh my God.
Let alone leading a Broadway show. Come on, the limited. The
Express
limited
men.
Hello.
It
still
used to
around.
Be called Structure.
Oh my
Do you
God.
Remember when it was called
oh
Structure?
Oh my God.
Yeah. I did it.
They were like, no, let's just put Express men.
Yeah,
anyway.
It's too much. No one cares. Yeah.
Elizabeth. Don't get a big head. I hate you.
That just
I
made
wonder.
Me have a like now I'm just off the charts.
I know.
Ego. Again.
She's just going to be a demanding diva.
That's it.
Well, any
diva.
Show you do from this point on is gonna be a cakewalk. It's got to be.
I'm sure. Like this is. I won't. I'm like this is like definitely the hardest thing I've ever done. But also one of the best, amazing things I've ever done. So it's. I think it's like something can be hard and tiring and amazing and magical at the same time. And it just, I'm proud of myself. I'm proud of myself because it is hard. And like, it takes me a second to, we're our hardest critics. I'm the hardest on myself.
Yes, you are.
So it's,
talks.
It's, yep. Yeah. So it's like, to say like, I'm proud of myself for doing this and also to give myself slack because, also, anyone who's listening that's young, like it's weird being this age. It's like you're still trying to figure out how to be a person and an adult in life in general. And then, working or being in school or like all of that is it's hard. So I don't know how to end this sentence.
Well, I'll tell you, somebody
perfectly imperfect
of a certain age, I look back at being that age as an artist too, and just really going, I had no idea who I was. Yeah. Mm. And the more you develop and know who you are and you bring that to your art, you get more insight. But to be young and doing the work on the level you're doing is wacky bananas.
Oh, I got my equity card with her dad.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh.
Her father, and I was at the Muni, getting my equity card, doing three shows that summer. I was a sophomore, junior in college. And Lara Teeter was the Scarecrow in The Wizard of Oz. I had the best time working with him.
Hold on.
Her dad's Lara Teeter.
Hold on. I know your dad.
I'm sure you
do. Your dad is Lara Teeter?
My dad is Lara Teeter, yes.
Can you even?
No, did not know.
They're not stage parents, don't worry.
No, but
I begged them to audition.
The reason why I bring him up is because I think also part of Elizabeth's, yeah. I mean, this is like analyzing Elizabeth Teeter.
Uh-huh.
No, but like,
analyze me.
The fact that, she comes from like not only like Broadway stock, but also real grounded people who get what we do and really get it.
I really have to give it to my parents I've been so lucky because they're not stage parents in that they didn't. I have three other siblings who have very different interests too. So they were like made sure to prioritize all of our interests. And also like you said, it's so helpful that they understand what it is. And I have so many surrogate people and family members and things that that know us. And so it's definitely helped keep me grounded, I think, in that sense, in terms of like they're not the ones being like, be a star, audition. Like I was, they were like, you really want to audition?
And you're like, yes, I'd like to do a play with Helen Mirren.
Yeah.
But and I've had, talks with my dad about, hard times or if I'm tired of this, and he's like, I get it. Like he's like, I understand.
Really
and
gets
he's
it.
He was more of like a dancer guy. Like he was telling me like when he was doing Scarecrow at I think Madison Square Garden, and they had a shortened, condensed version of the show where it was like 90 minutes. And so sometimes they would do three shows in a day. And he's rolling around on the ground. He's kicking his face. And so he's like a little bit different in that. He's like, I know this is for you as a heart, like singing more. Mm-hmm. But he's like, for me, he's like, I would go into my dressing room, just lay on my yoga mat, like, and try to like put everything together. So he gets it. He knows that what it's like, which is nice to be able to call my family.
Yep.
And they're like, we're so proud of you. We know.
He is a wonderful, wonderful man. I taught a workshop with him at Webster. So that's insane. I did not put that together,
he's
and I maybe should have.
One of my biggest inspirations, just as a person, I like shout out
Royalty.
Dad. Dad, if you're listening.
Daddy, listening.
If you're listening. And my mom, too. My mom is like the head of the, like, I would be nowhere without them and their support. And also my dad is just such a good teacher. Like if you can take a class with him, like he is just a wonderful teacher and so positive and cares so much about his students. And so I hope to be like my dad one day. And
you know what this all really reminds me of? Of just how much my dad sucked.
Uh-oh.
It's a joke. Oh, come on, people. It's all right. No, nobody panic. He's dead. All right. So I feel like this is a great moment to move, because we're kind of talking about the kumbaya of it all and the spirit of keeping a balanced mind to be in this career that we're in. And I for you two ladies in particular, you are icons to a whole new generation of artists that are coming up. And it seems to me like you never stop working. Have there been moments, have there been jobs you've had to take on through your career that people would be surprised to know?
Carrie, I've talked so much, Carrie.
Well, you know, we all supplement. We all do voiceovers, you know, so it's like something, a door always opens. But, you know, there definitely have been dry spells. There definitely have been moments where I've been like, am I ever going to work again? Yeah. I would say, but like some of my jobs that I had when I was younger was I sang on the Spirit of New York.
Yes, you did.
Remember that boat that goes around?
I do.
Yes, oh I sang on that. Sang actually a little song from Phantom.
Delightful. Was that a Think of Me moment on the boat?
Yes,
lovely.
Of course, yes. And then I also would entertain children's parties as Ariel from
Little
Mermaid. And I'd have to drive myself to the party and then hop through the grass to to the party
in the
middle of the park in the tail.
And then you come crashing through the fence and like, I'm here.
And then one time, like, they didn't have my wig ready and I had short black hair at that time. And the kids were like, you're not the real Ariel.
Like,
I was like, I dyed my hair and cut it.
Oh my! When Ursula has a salon now.
Oh my!
I love that.
That's
I had
really
to be.
Good.
I hope nobody very young is listening. I had to be a Santa Claus at a Christmas party on Long Island once. This is after I'd been in three Broadway shows, and I ended up having to change. I changed my clothes in the train, like at a restaurant in the train station on my way out, and then I changed out of my Santa outfit in somebody's backyard in Long Island behind a hedge. So
of course you did.
It's glamorous. Have you had some non-glamorous moments?
Oh, okay. Definitely when I was younger, I did many different jobs. So I used to give out flyers in Times Square.
Oh my gosh.
At the TKTS booth. I worked for one of the companies. The show at the time, one of the shows at the time were Sideman was a play on Broadway at the time, which I saw like six times and became obsessed with Edie Falco, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But all of those new shows, I was giving out the flyers in line, talking to people from all over the world about what they should see. What do you think they asked me about? Phantom. Every
sure,
single time.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I did that. I worked in temp offices all over, from law firms to like Maybelline, L'Oreal, babysat, of course. What else did I do? Oh God. I mean, I remember. Okay. Random. I don't know why this came to me as a flashback. In Long Island City, in a warehouse with heating lamps in the middle of the winter, wrapping gifts in baskets, doing the plastic wrap, and we got cash and we were paid by the hour, and it was during Christmas time doing that. Yep.
Oh, wow.
In some warehouse in Long Island, like, because you make cash and you're like, you know, when you're young, you'll do it. Like, who cares?
There's a lot you'll do.
Money is
Yeah, honey, like, whatever. But then as far as like the lean times, sure. I mean, there's times where I'm like, should I go back to school? You know, because it is so hard. And my friend Oli and I were talking about this today. Like, you know, you get to a point when you're in our age bracket where you go, wow, a lot of people have left.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have left.
Yeah.
A lot of people are still around. So the circle sort of becomes smaller and smaller as you get older and older. Mm-hmm. But you start to go, there is a place. There's another job. It always comes. So like, you know, we know, Beetlejuice is closing. And you start to think, whatever. But, you know, I think, like Carrie said, you start to trust that the things, they come. And even if they don't, whatever's supposed to come just comes. And it's
It might not be what you expected or what you wanted.
Correct.
And so you just have to say yes to what does come.
Correct. Yeah. And sometimes the one you say yes to and you're like, I don't know, turns out to be one of the best things you've ever done.
Absolutely. Mm.
Yep. And I feel like a lot of young artists get very hooked on, this is how it's done. Obviously, just look at Elizabeth Teeter. You just go do The Crucible when you're nine, and then you go do ride piggyback on Helen Mirren, and then you go into the show. But that's, there's so much. What's the key to finding a balance and keeping yourself motivated? Because I think that's part of it. Is we do watch our people go. A lot of people go to the other side of the table.
Yeah.
People go to create theater in other places, to keep going and have this kind of wonderful longevity, and balance that you don't go nuts.
Well, family too.
Yeah, well, I have my family, which is so important, and then find the things that. Oh, I know actually. Always have something else besides acting, like. Before I had my family, I would always have like a very strong like volunteer life that so that I would always have something else to put my energy into, to think about. And nobody had to know about it. I wasn't like talking about it to anybody, but just for me, so then I felt like my self-worth wasn't wrapped up in whether I was in a show or not.
Mm, so, tricky.
That's
it's
the key.
Important place to get.
Yeah.
Yeah. Outside of Beetlejuice obviously being the highlight of your careers and lives, what would you say is your proudest moment in your career outside of this show?
I'm really proud of Secret Life of Bees that was off Broadway in 2019.
Yeah.
It was really cool. It was the first time I got to be a part of something that was new, and hopefully, I mean, it's going to London, and who knows, it'll come back here. But it was such a good experience, and I feel like, I don't know. I'm just really proud of that. And also, this is going to sound so random because it's a small theater company, but I did the Glass Menagerie last summer in St. Louis with the Tennessee Williams Festival, and it was very cool for any. I love history, and so Tennessee Williams grew up in St. Louis, and they built the stage outside of the apartment he wrote it in. So we got do the show where he wrote the play. And I thought it was an example of, it doesn't matter how big the scale is. Like, you know, it was a smaller stage and theater, but it was such a magical show and magical summer. And I'm really proud of that. So.
Yeah. Miss Butler.
I would say when I did Xanadu, like most people know, I'm very uncoordinated, extremely. And when they asked me to do Xanadu, they were like, can you skate? I was like, yeah, I can skate. My husband's like, I've been married to you forever and I've never seen you skate. And so I was like, I used to have skating birthday parties when I was nine. So then I had learn to skate. And I literally, once we started rehearsals, I couldn't say my lines and skate at the same time. And I'd already had lessons for weeks. So it was a disaster. And I almost got fired a few times. Seriously, almost got fired.
No. Because
I couldn't act and skate at the same time.
I haven't. Was that integral to?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I haven't seen
this. Everything. But so I didn't know for sure that I was going to be fired, but I just felt it, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then later, I said to Chris Ashley, I was like, oh, and so then I ended up doing it. I ended up getting nominated for a Tony Award for the hardest part I ever did. I mean, three people broke their legs before we even opened.
Yeah.
And here I am, I was scared I was going to die, every single day. And
seriously.
And I said to Chris Ashley, after it all, you know, did well and was up, I was like, oh, you know, I thought you were going to fire me. And he's like, deadpan. He didn't say anything.
No
so
way.
I was almost fired.
But then you got a Tony nom.
You got
it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm
can't fire me now.
Proud of myself that I tried so hard. I would have skating lessons on my lunch break.
I assumed that you must have just been an avid skater to even think about doing that.
Just say yes,
positivity.
People.
Just say yes.
Lie in your audition.
Wow. Seriously.
Do you know how to hang glide? Absolutely.
Acrobatics. I can do a somersault.
Sure. What about you, Leslie?
I think, so you're saying show, another show besides Beetlejuice.
Sure.
Yeah. I did a small show, a two-hander called The Memory Show at the Transit Group. It was about a mother and a daughter. We had developed it for a few years at Barrington Stage, and then it came into New York, a musical. And it's about a mother and a daughter. The mother has early onset of Alzheimer's.
Oh.
So the daughter moves home, and the daughter's her life's sort of a mess, and So she moves home to take care of her mother, and they have a very contentious relationship. And as her mother gets worse, they get closer because empathy, right? You see your mother differently. You start, the mother becomes a child. And I'm very proud of myself for that. That particular show was probably, I think, some of the best work I've ever done. And also, personally, you know, my mother has dementia, and she's in a nursing home now. And at the time, when she came to see it, she wasn't diagnosed yet. But because our relationship, her and my relationship, also was changing, I had no idea that what I would be facing now was very much close to what the play was then. And it's not exactly the same because I didn't move in with her, but I became a caretaker. And being able to sort of, I think that was it for me, the work that I did in that show with Catherine Cox, who's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And heartbreaking as the mom, really set me up to be able to deal with what I deal with now, which is the fact that she's very much not well.
That's really wild.
Yeah. And it was, I'm proud of it because I still was funny in it, but it was a different thing. It was a whole different thing. It opened up a whole different side to what I think I thought at that point, what I was capable of doing as a performer. And it really resonated with me. It's a very special, small musical. So, and there's a cast album, so if you ever want to listen to it. It was an amazing, amazing experience. It really taught me a lot about myself, and in turn, a lot of empathy for my mom, which I needed, which I didn't have at the time. So that show, I always say, like, whenever you do shows, sometimes I feel like they pick you.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. And so, you know, when a show comes into my life, I'm meant to do that show at that particular time. It's always, you're supposed to learn something from it. And that's like spiritually woo woo, whatever, but it's very true. Or you learn something, at the end you didn't realize.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the one. That's, for me.
I'm also, I think for people listening, I think it's very cool that the spectrum of what we're very proud of in our careers doesn't always involve being in the Broadway show. There's so much wonderful theater everywhere to be done.
Some of the best I've ever done. Yeah. Never on the Broadway.
Yeah. It's got to be fun, right? It's got to be where you find yourself artistically fulfilled. Just a shout out to the fans of Beetlejuice for bringing the show back. And I'm so excited that you've got some time left for everybody to come see it. What has been the greatest fan interaction you've had?
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, we've had many, but recently, because Instagram is amazing.
Yes.
Long story short, I go live during intermission a lot of times. I meet a lot of kids. This one kid, Jeffrey Rowe, who is from Massachusetts, came on. Everyone like fell in love with him. He was freaking out. He had never seen the show, just knew the album. So because we loved him, and I was going to send him like a little gift, like a signed playbill. And I said, well, why don't we just raise money to get this kid to New York? And we did.
Yeah.
Oh,
we
within
did.
Like a few hours.
Yeah,
right?
During the show. That's we raised crazy. Enough money to send him and his parents down to New York, Amtrak, hotel booked, shows. Ellen Stardust is sponsoring him.
Shut up.
To have dinner. And he's watched Ellen Stardust videos on YouTube. So like that's sort of a bigger thing. But we've all like this is why because of this cast, because how we interact with the fans. We have fallen in love with them, and so, like, I was able to do that. So he's going to be coming to New York on November 11th for his 15th birthday. This is very cool, right?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You have to. Now he's iconic to all of you. You're like, he's coming.
Yeah, he's coming.
What about you, Carrie?
Oh, gosh. That's I don't so know. Cool. I just think about all the people who have dressed up in amazing, amazing outfits.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's just October. Super... super fun with this show. I mean, we look out every single night. I'm sure when you were there. Like,
oh, yeah. That's what I'm looking
somebody.
For. Him. I'm
always
looking for
somebody.
The stripes.
So
yeah.
It's really, really fun. I think they're so supportive. Yeah. And I really miss stage drawing. I hope that we get to do that again soon.
I started on matinees.
I'm going to start. I kind of did it last night. I'm going to start doing it again.
Yeah, maybe I think. I'll do that too on matinees or something.
Yeah.
This month, I don't know what our next playbill is going to be, but this month, one of the fan arts is the cover for the playbill.
I remember seeing that back in 2020.
What other show does that?
Yeah, it's so
cool. It's really
cool.
Honestly.
Yeah, that mural. I mean, it's amazing.
The mural is
spectacular.
Like,
I cannot believe
walking
up.
Sometimes I walk by it, like, before a show, and I'm just like, What? This is through our show?
Through the never? Smoking haze of
yeah, yeah. I walked through the flight attendant because I feel like, you know, you don't get secondhand.
Right.
and costume contests are coming up at the show.
Yeah. We have a whole month.
Yeah.
Of 30 fun days October-y
of,
stuff.
Of October. Or
what is it?
Beetlejuice.
30, Beetlejuice. There's a calendar online.
Of Beetlejuice, yeah.
Yeah. Costume contests. I think they just posted on our website.
Yes.
You go to Beetlejuice.
Swag. We're doing TikToks or...
Yeah. We have contests. Yeah.
We have Broadway Flea Market coming up, so a bunch of us will be there signing things to raise money. Mm-hmm. But I think October is going to be a blast.
Yeah, really
absolutely.
I'm so excited. Yeah.
We're going to have a lot of fun things, and we cannot wait.
Yeah,
Halloween is going to be fun. That's our first. We call it our first Christmas, our holiday.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It's got to be all October all the time.
Yeah.
What about you? Fan experience?
Oh. I guess I haven't had too many in person because of COVID, so I haven't really done the stage door. I haven't done things like that. But just, I mean, even, like, opening was crazy. Like, the energy there, people cheering before, you know, you started a song. It was so amazing and nerve-wracking and all the things. But I guess over just social media, I've received so many amazing, like I said earlier, messages about how much this show means to them or how much this character means to them and you know, someone recently was like, it's been an anniversary since my mom died and my sister and I were going to come see the show. We didn't know how it was going to feel about it. And they were like, this was so therapeutic to us. Like, it means so much, all this stuff. But also, like on TikTok, like I released a song recently and so many of the fans who like from the show listened to it and have like, some girl like duetted it playing like the cello and like doing amazing things. Which who knows if they'd even listen or hear it if they weren't, you know, fans of the show. Just like, and the costumes, like everything is just amazing. That it's so
just
cool.
Fun.
Yeah.
The whole thing is fun. The way
Someone
the fans interacting,
huge
it's fun, fun,
and,
fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally a blast.
I gotta let you guys go so you can go live your lives.
Thank
I could talk
you,
to you
Ben.
Forever. I have so many more questions, but I'll ask them later. I want to say thank you. Enjoy October.
Thank you. Thanks
for having me. Because it is going to be so fun.
Yes. Also, I just want to say I love to be here with you two because getting to hear, they're just Broadway icons. So getting to hear all your stories and stuff every day is like something I don't take for granted. And I love being in these interviews with you and listening and learning.
Hey, I love that. And it's just so great once again to be somewhere without Alex.
Oh my god, finally
let the lady speak.
He's finally letting us talk. I'm kidding.
I love you all. Thank you so much.
You
and
Ben,
hope we'll see
you
soon.
So
continued
much.
Success.
Thank
enjoy
you,
the rest of the run.
Thank you.
That was just completely awesome. I hope you all enjoyed listening to that. Thank you so much, Carrie Butler, Leslie Kritzer, Elizabeth Teeter, who knew I knew your dad. See, we're doing something new every single day. Thank you once again for listening. Make sure you subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. Follow us on social media at The Broadway Cast. Follow me at Ben Does Broadway. Also, make sure you rate the show, review us, and share us with your friends. And if you'd like to support us even further, we would love to make you part of our Patreon family. All you gotta do is click the link in the liner notes. And you can support us right there. All right, until next time, I'm your Broadway buddy, Ben Cameron, saying have a great show!